Dr. Perk Shemas is the 12th chapter of Hilchos Shavuos, Halacha Aleph. Af mishlo kanish b'lashov l'sheker, even though there's a flogging given to one who swears in vain or falsely, v'chein anishba shavuos ha'edus ha'shavuos v'godim mevi karban, or if one swears falsely, he swears the oath of witnesses or the oath of the entrusted object, which he falsely denies, he brings a sacrifice. In the skapalem avon ha'shavuos kulo, that still doesn't atone for the entire sin of the oath. Shemaz it says, le'inak Hashem, Hashem will not cleanse. There is no cleansing from the din, from the law of heaven, until he gets punished for the great name that he desecrated. It says, you've desecrated the name of Hashem your God, I am Hashem. Therefore you have to be careful in this sin more than any sins. This is among the strictest sins. As we've explained in the laws of tshuva. And even though it's not punished by either karis or being soul being cut off or death through the court, it has the desecration of the holy name, which is greater than any sin. If somebody swears in the heaven or the earth or the sun and the like, even though his intention is the creator of that, God, it's still not considered an oath. If one swears in a prophet of the prophets or in one of the books of the holy writings of the Tanakh, even if his intention is only the one who sent that prophet, namely Hashem, or the one who commanded that book, it's still not an oath. Even though these are not technically considered oaths, we frighten people about this, and we teach the people they shouldn't be lenient and disrespectful in this matter. And we make it look as if this counts as an oath. And we open a way of annulling this, and then we nullify the oath. But we don't just say, oh, it's nothing, it doesn't count. When does this apply? The other holy writings. The Torah, if someone swears in the Torah itself, if he makes an oath in what is written in the Torah, in other words, he says, I swear by what is written in the Torah, that allows Korus. We assume then that he means the names of Hashem mentioned there. Nishba Bastam, if he just swore without specifying, that Gvil, he means just the parchment. They can swear that's not an oath. Not if he took it in his hand and he swore in it, or he's a commission Nishba Bamashakosavba, that's considered as if he would have sworn in what is written in the Torah, namely the name of Hashem, the oath, and it's forbidden. Hey, v'nishba v'torah stam, if a person swears without specifying in the Torah, im tamal chacham ho en etzach shelo l'chacham, if he's a sage, he doesn't have to annul the vow by a wise man. V'mamaretu, if he's ignorant, etzach shelo l'chacham, he has to go and ask a wise man, gishlina kalatosh b'shvuah, so that he shouldn't be lenient. If he's an ignorant person, we don't want him to be lenient about oaths. V'avev v'chinishba en rabba etzach l'chafoso, v'reyo achach shenishba k'kodem shenishba. If a slave swore, the master is not obligated to force him to nullify the oath. He is, after he swore, just like before he swore. In other words, the oath isn't even valid. He doesn't have the ability to make an oath. Why? If he's shengu v'kanalo, k'dei shetochal olav shvaso. His own body doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the Jew, in the case of the slave. And therefore, the oath is not valid. And have a b'shvus, because it says by oath, lesa yisrael nafsho, to make a prohibition on himself. Meaning somebody who owns himself. That excludes the slave who is in the possession of others. That's like somebody swears over someone else's property. Minors who swore, and they know the meaning of an oath, even though they're not liable to fulfill their oath, they're not obligated. We force them to keep their words, in order to train them that they should keep their words. And also to frighten them, so they shouldn't be lightheaded in respect for the oaths. If the thing they swore is something that a minor can't do without getting hurt, like he swore to fast, not to eat meat for a long time, Makos alav rabo, his father or teacher should hit him, go bow and scream at him, Marmlo should shvaso, and show him that his oath has been nullified. But that it was an oath, but that they nullified it. He shouldn't get used to being lenient with oaths. You have to be very careful with children and teach them to say the truth without having to swear. They shouldn't be used to always swearing like the Gentiles do. This is an obligation on the fathers and on the teachers. If you hear a person mention the name of Hashem in vain, or he swears before him falsely, or he said a blessing that was not necessary, which violates naming the name of Hashem in vain, as we said in the laws of brachas, so he's supposed to put him into a ban, into an excommunication. If he does not do so, he himself is then liable to be excommunicated. But he should nullify the ban immediately, so that there should not be a stumbling block to others who will not observe the laws of the ban, not realizing it. Because they don't know that he was put into the ban. If you ask Yodio, let them know, and the whole world is going to be under a ban. Because they've taught their language to do crooked and always to swear. So at least it has the instructive purpose of emphasizing to him that he did a very bad thing. If the person who swore or made a blessing in vain, he did so purposely. If it was inadvertently, he didn't realize that this was forbidden, and a chayv l'nedosa is not obligated to put him under the ban. I say it's even forbidden to put him under a ban, because the pasuk didn't punish someone who's inadvertent. He merely warns him and tells him not to do it anymore. Not only is an oath in vain forbidden, even to mention one of the explicit names of Hashem in vain. Also is forbidden, even without swearing. For the Pasuk commands and says, to fear the honored and awesome name. Included in the fear of Hashem is not to mention him in vain. Therefore, if he slipped his tongue and mentioned the name in vain, he should immediately hurry, and he should praise and glorify him, so his name should not be mentioned in vain. Ketad haso Amar Hashem, if he said Hashem, Amar Baruch Hu La'olam Vo'ed, blessed is he forever, O God who hold me out, or great is he and praised forever, U'kiyotiv azan alai, k'day shlo yeh levatala, so it should not be in vain. That's why we nowadays say Baruch Hashem for Machus La'olam Vo'ed. So the point of this is that when you say the name of Hashem by immediately praising him, then the name is not in vain. You said Hashem, and you realize that you shouldn't have said it in vain. Hashem may be blessed and glorified and so on, so the name is really not in vain. Even though you can ask that the vow be annulled. From Shabbat, as we've explained, Vein Bezadelfi, there's nothing wrong with this. If somebody doesn't feel hesitant about this, then that's a kind of heresy, that he doesn't believe in the strength and the power that the sages have to nullify the vow. After you can't write it, Zabadov is there. Still, you should be careful about this matter. And you shouldn't nullify your oath unless it's for a mitzvah. For a great need. It's very good for a person not to swear altogether. If he transgressed and swore, that he should suffer and hold to his oath and not nullify it. It says, even if he swore for something that's bad for himself, he does not go against it. And it says afterwards, he who does this will not fall forever. That's the end of the laws of Shavuos with the help of heaven.